If you would, turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 32 of Acts chapter 2. But before I start, I'll give you the title. The title of this is The Message of Pentecost. I started to call it Peter's Pentecostal Message, but I figured now that might be a bit too much. The Message of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I chose this title on purpose. I chose it deliberately. Mainly because, now this is just the title, not the message. The connotation that the word Pentecost has, and even Pentecostal have, in this day, that word has been usurped and demeaned by many in this day. It is used as part of a title on churches, and it's used as an adjective, Pentecostal, for a style of preaching or a certain type of message. However, in Pentecostal churches, as they are called, all around us on this day, I would be willing to bet real money, if I had any, that the message of Pentecost will not be preached in those churches today. There's nothing wrong with the word Pentecost. There's nothing wrong with the word Pentecostal. But there is almost everything wrong with the use of it today. And I will admit, I have been guilty of this. I will use that word, Pentecostal, as a description, as a shorthand for so-called, what people so-call worship services, which are unruly. They're full of will worship and not God worship. Or they're also full, I'm going to use this term, jibber jabber. Because I refuse to call it speaking in tongues. Because that ain't what they're doing. That is not what they're doing. I'm not going to get into it a whole lot, but I will tell you this. If you look at Acts 2 and verse 4, it does say, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues. Not unknown tongues, other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, but there's also a result to that. You look at it in verse 11. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but just verse 11. It says Cretes and Arabians, because it gives a whole list there of the people that were there from all over the world. Cretes and Arabians, what? We do hear them speak in our own tongues. And what did they hear? The wonderful works of God. Amen. And that's why I'm going to call what they do jibber jabber from now on. Unless I can think of a better word. You know? Because if they're speaking supposedly in tongues and unbelieving people can't hear the wonderful works of God, they're not doing what the apostles did here. They're not doing what the disciples did here. They're not. Period. Speaking in other tongues. Because that's the definition right there. And Paul said if there ain't an interpreter, and that meant if there wasn't an interpreter for an other tongue, keep silent. Anyhow, I said I wasn't going to talk about that. But I've used that word, Pentecostal, as a designation. Oh, they're Pentecostal, or I will say holiness, you know. And that's what it means, because they demean, and I mean this very seriously, they demean the miracle of Pentecost. And they deny the gospel of this Jesus right here. And that's the point. I don't like it. Now, there's a reason they don't preach the message of Pentecost, and there's a reason they don't preach this Jesus, and that reason is because they don't know this Jesus that Peter is preaching here. Because the message of Pentecost is the result of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being given. There is a definite result, and it is shown here. But they've gotten so wrapped up in the event of the Pentecost, or their interpretation of the event of Pentecost. Because they think it's about power. Power for them. And they're wrong. Now, there is the power of God and the power of His Spirit that was revealed and given at Pentecost. That is true. But if you look at the results of the Holy Spirit being given, what we have is this message right here from Peter. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus, was declared publicly. That's the result of Pentecost. That's the message of Pentecost. I have heard them say with their own lips. I said I wasn't going to preach on this, but I am anyway. Jesus was just a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think that devil had a bad time at the cross? Oh, he had a horrible time at Pentecost because it was 500 disciples filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus. No, no. I'm going to tell you something. 500 disciples filled with the Holy Ghost can't put a candle to Jesus. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And he is God manifest in the flesh. But they think this puts them on his level. And they're wrong, 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 so wrong. And you read what Peter says here. And we're going to go into that. The results of Pentecost, the results of the Holy Spirit coming, result in the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, not ourselves. Verse 32 says, this Jesus hath God raised up. This is the message of Pentecost. You can say what you want. You can do what you will. This is America. But that don't make it right. Remember a few months ago I told you about a sign I saw where it says it's better to be smacked or hit by the truth than to be kissed by a lie. Well, that same place had a sign up not too long ago and left it up for a couple of weeks. I didn't tell you about it because I was saving it for something. I guess it's this. And it says, sometimes peace is better than being right. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Not when it concerns this Jesus. I can tell you that right now. Not when it concerns the gospel of God. Oh my, there are some people who have left this place, and their excuse was they're trying to keep peace in their family. Because this gospel puts a division. Our Lord puts a division. I came to bring a sword to set at variance. This Jesus hath God raised up. This Jesus is the Jesus of the Old Testament, the Messiah of the Old Testament, the Anointed One of the Old Testament. This Jesus is the Jesus of the Gospels that we have written. But this Jesus here, which we're speaking, is the one whom Peter preached at Pentecost. So, if you would, just back up just a little bit to verse 22. Because here is this Jesus that Peter preached. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Just in case you weren't sure which one he was talking about. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. What's the first thing about this Jesus? He's a man. Peter said it. He's a man. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man. The Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God was born of a woman, made under the law with a purpose to redeem those that are under the law. He was made flesh. He became flesh. He did take on the form of a servant. He did take on the form of sinful flesh. He did not take on sinful flesh, but he came in that form. He came in that likeness, it says. He was a man. This Jesus, whom Peter is preaching, is a man. He was flesh, and he is flesh. And then it says, approved of God. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove at the baptism of John, when Jesus was baptized by John, put it that way, and said, this is my beloved son. Another place he said, this is my well-beloved son. And another place he said, hear him. Hear him. This man was approved of God. There was an incident, an account given of what they call the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was transformed while here on this earth, and Moses and Elijah appeared unto him. Now, why did Moses and Elijah appear? They were supposed to. They were sent by the Father. The Father approved of the work of the Son. He was, he is a man, and he is approved of God. And then it says, among you. Because not only was the Word made flesh, he dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled here. He walked on this earth. At the age of 12, he confounded the doctors. That's the law doctors, not the medical doctors. With his knowledge. And he told his mother, wist ye not that I be about my Father's business? He walked among us. God manifest in the flesh. Approved of God. He walked among you. And it says, what? By miracles and wonders and signs. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and what we beheld his glory. The glory is with the everlasting Father. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. Like I said, he made water into wine. He healed the sick. He healed lepers. He gave sight to the blind. All of this was done openly. Openly, in public. He fed 5,000 and they followed him until he spoke to them. And then they followed him no more. Miracles and wonders and signs. He healed. He raised the dead. He spoke Lazarus' name and Lazarus came forth, even though he had been dead for 4 days. All of this was done publicly in front of these people. And it says, which God did by him, these miracles and wonders and signs. The Word that was with God and was God did not cease to be the Word once he was made flesh. He was the Word made flesh. He was still the Word. He was still God. By him all things consisted while he was here on this planet walking. It is the Adam Kedmah, the God-man. Yes, he's a man, but yes, he's God. How can you justify that? All I got's the Scripture and his work and his approval of the Father. He's not a man made into God, as some teach. They do. You understand? This is where, this Jesus is where, if you want to put it that way, this is where the rubber meets the road. This has been attacked ever since the beginning. They'll either say he was a man who got the Holy Spirit and he became a little bit more, or they'll say he was a spirit and he never was really a man. They'll go both ways, and both of them are wrong. Because Peter's talking about this Jesus, who is a man and who is God, at the same time. And he was in the midst of you. He was here. He was made known unto you. But all you saw, all they saw, was that he had no form nor comeliness that they should desire him. They had no beauty that they should desire him. They saw him walking on this world, speaking the truth of God, speaking the truth of his Father, doing the will of his Father perfectly and wholly, completely wholly. And they despised and rejected him, just like Isaiah said they would. The chief of the Jews had been trying to kill him for a while before they actually did crucify him. They had been trying to stone him. They had set out to kill him. Some people tried to throw him off a hill, but he walked out of their midst. He was despised and rejected of men. He spoke to those 5,000 he fed, and they left him. This Jesus hath God raised. Well, he was despised and rejected of men. And then it says, as you know, he was in the midst of you, and you know it. And this is the way of the natural man. They knew this Jesus, but they didn't know this Jesus. They saw him, but they didn't see him. They saw a man, but they didn't see the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. They saw a prophet or a preacher or a teacher. We know you're a teacher come from God. Oh, yeah. Well, shut up and do what he says. Nobody got at that point. They'll have a preacher. They'll have a teacher. They'll have a prophet. But he is God manifest in the flesh. He is prophet, he is priest, and he is king.
Amen.
They knew him, but they didn't know him. They may know the wonders. They may have seen the miracles and signs, and they may have heard the sermons. But they didn't know this Jesus that God hath raised, that Peter was preaching to him. Because Peter was preaching this Jesus. Like I said, this is the result of Pentecost. The preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Public declaration of this Jesus whom you rejected. Then it said he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This Jesus was. I don't hear Pentecostals preach about that anytime. I will say that. And there I use the description again. I don't hear people who go to Pentecostal churches say anything about the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. They say foreknowledge, but they describe foreseeing. Now, David foresaw something. It says it right down here in the next couple of verses after this. This ain't foreseeing. This is foreknowing, because this is foredoing. And they never mention the determinate counsel, because, see, this is the way the Father said it was going to be, and the obedient Son carried out everything his Father told him to. Go ahead. I dare you. Read Isaiah 53. You'll read something about the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God in Isaiah 53, or you won't understand a word of it. Because Isaiah 53 preached this Jesus that Peter preached here at Pentecost. You read Isaiah 53 and tell me that God wasn't in control of everything. That God isn't in control of everything. He was definitely in control of exactly what happened to this Jesus. This Jesus is the burnt offering, the sin offering, the atonement, the scapegoat, the altar, the candlestick, the ark, and the mercy seat, and the tent and all the curtains and the curtains around it from the Old Testament. This Jesus is. He is the sweet savor unto God. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the hands of this Jesus that Peter was preaching. Then it says, you took and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. This was absolutely necessary. And it's also absolutely wicked. It was done by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. But it's also absolutely wicked. Totally foreordained and totally criminal. Judas had one thing right. He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. That was right. He did. And they crucified innocent blood. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and yet still by wicked hands. You can't do that. Well, don't worry, I didn't. God said it. Peter preached it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Luke recorded it here. You took by wicked hands and have crucified and slain him. This Jesus died the death of the cross. This Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You saw it. And you saw him as stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But this Jesus, he saw the travail of his soul, and is satisfied. This death on the cross had to happen in order for the salvation of his people. Made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that are under the law. And how is that redemption accomplished? By the sacrifice of the Son. By the sacrifice of this Jesus. By the blood of this Jesus whom Peter was preaching. Whom God raised up. It was not possible that death could hold him. Jesus is not only light. This Jesus is not only light. This Jesus is life. This Jesus is life. He became flesh. He became a man to die. Because God could not die. And yet death was the penalty for sin. And he was made sin for us. And he died the death that we couldn't die and survive. But death, it's not possible. I love that. It's not possible that death could hold him. Not the one, the only begotten Son of the Father, whom God raised up. This Jesus that Peter preached here, with his stripes we are healed. And there is no other Jesus than this Jesus. Just like there's no other gospel than the gospel. Others have come in their own name and they were received, and this Jesus came in the name of the Father and was rejected of men. But he was believed by some. God hath raised him up. And it says, we are all witnesses. Peter said that of the disciples that saw him after the resurrection. He was seen of above 500 people. There's evidence. But we see him now through the eye of faith. He reveals himself to his people. This Jesus does. We were blessed by God to see this Jesus, Peter is writing, before and after he rose from the dead. And it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Remember I said the result of Pentecost is this preaching of Peter right here. The preaching of this Jesus. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, that was him coming at Pentecost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The Holy Ghost, when he comes, will not speak of himself. The Comforter will not speak of himself. He shall take the things of mine and show them to you. And he told the disciples in particular, he's going to take the things that you've seen and bring them to your mind, to remembrance. And they wrote the Gospels. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will cause you to speak of Christ. And will cause you to speak of this Jesus and not another. This Jesus is being exalted by the right hand of God. There's a man in heaven. I remember the first time Earl said that. And he's seated at the Father's right hand. The place of authority, the place of power, the place of acceptance. And you now see and hear us preaching this Jesus. How is the gospel truly preached? By the power of the Holy Ghost. How is the gospel truly received? By the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember Earl saying that too. There's nothing wrong with the word Holy Ghost. That's been abused by certain people. It's a scriptural word. It is by the grace and power of God alone that allows men to preach this Jesus and for this Jesus to be received by hearing ears. Only by the grace and power of God. And this is the result of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Ghost into men. They preach this Jesus. This Jesus is both Lord and Christ. That's what it says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I wrote it down here. There it is. Kurios and Christos is the Greek words. And Kurios comes from the word Kuros, which means supremacy. So the Kurios is the supreme authority. He's the one to whom the things belong. He's the owner and the anointed one, the Christ. God the Father hath made him both Lord and Christ. There's no separation anymore. There never was, if you want to know the truth about it. But you understand, if he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. If he's not the Lord, he can't save you. The message of Pentecost, Peter's Pentecostal message, is the message of this Jesus whom God hath raised up. This Jesus. And if you don't know this Jesus, you don't and you can't understand what happened at Pentecost. Because this is shown in the thousands of church buildings every Sunday. They don't preach this Jesus, who was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, who was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, and whom God hath raised up. And it's the same Jesus from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. There's only one. I am trying today to preach this Jesus like verse 39 says, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who we preach to. We preach to everyone. But it's only heard by those the Lord our God calls. I think I quoted it last week and I've done it before. What Paul said to those Jews in Rome, the chief Jews. I gotta stop. And when they had appointed him a day, There came many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And Acts 28 and verse 24 says this, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. This is where it is. This is where it is. Do you believe this Jesus that God hath raised up, that Peter preached at Pentecost? Who believed? Those that the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Who believed? As many as the Lord our God shall call. God calls whom he will to this Jesus, amen, whom he hath raised up. That's the gospel. He's done it. He did it all in his life. He did it all in his death. He did it all in his resurrection, and he's doing it all now from heaven. He is both Lord and Christ. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. He is both Lord and Christ. It's better if you believe it, but it doesn't matter. As far as that part goes, God says he's Lord and Christ. And he is. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful for you. Because you did send this Jesus to us, to the world, as a man, and he did save his people from their sins. He was slain, and he was resurrected, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.